Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Monday class, June 27, 2022, Psalm 25.
All right, congratulations. You can teach old dogs new tricks. You're here on a new dispensation, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday dispensation. Congratulations, and you will get great crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ for being able to do that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Psalm 25. We're in the last paragraph of this acrostic psalm. It is a great acrostic psalm, but the greatest acrostic psalm in the word of God is Psalm 119. And we have studied that here as well. Psalm 25. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and for your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege that we have of assembling in freedom tonight to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I understand that I'm not the only one that has bad hearing. Some of the rest of you have hearing problems in here as well. And Debbie has asked me repeatedly if I want to get a hearing aid, and no, I don't. I like my bad hearing. I can't hear what's going on if there's something going on out in the hall or something. And I don't mind turning the TV up louder. I have no problem with that. Derek does. Although I've listened to him turn things up, and I go, holy cow, his hearing must be totally gone. But I don't know if you have seen the movie Captain Corelli's Mandolin. I always get a kick out of that. Nicolas Cage is in that, and he there's an old farmer or some in their country, and he has a bean stuck in his ear, and he goes to the doctor and wants the doctor to take the bean out of his ear because he can't hear. So that starts out the movie, and somewhere down the line the doctor takes the bean out of his ear. Now he can hear, and he can hear his wife. And he went back to the doctor and he said, can you put the bean back in my ear? So I can't hear my wife. Now, I can't hear a smoke alarms, so if I'm at our house and the house catches fire, I'll just burn up and go to heaven that way. I can't hear smoke alarms. I've lost all high range. And it was from, I loved to go hunting with my dad and with my uncle. And we went out sighting in rifles all the time, but without using ear protection. And I lost all my high range. Oh, my high range is gone. I wanted to get into ROTC at Washington State University. And I flunked the hearing, and they were going to wash me out. And I just kept arguing, no, don't wash me out, please, just because I can't hear. Well, you got to be able to hear. Well, don't wash me out. I want to be in ROTC. Okay, I've lost my high range. Anyway, I argued my point enough that they let me stay in. But all my high range is gone. Used to be I had ringing in my ears. Now that's all gone too. Now I just don't hear anything. And but it does have its advantages, except when we go out. For the last 2.5 years, we've never gone to a restaurant. But we've gone twice now and home. You get in those restaurants and there's all this background noise. Now the good thing is I can't hear anything that anybody else is saying. I just smile and shake my head. And so Debbie realizes what I'm doing, so she calls me all kinds of things. You dirty, and I smile and shake my head. So it's fun for her too. Psalm 25, we're in the last paragraph, David's prayer for deliverance. Now, David is a spiritually mature believer. He's ridden out the installment discipline over 15 years. He has not only recovered, he has advanced farther than he ever has before in his life. He loves the Lord more than ever before. And when he prays this prayer, the prayer for deliverance, verses 16 to 22, he totally understands that the prayer of a grace-righteous believer accomplishes much. James 5:16. And this prayer, God answered it absolutely 100%. Yes, sir. And he answered it. David was delivered from the Absalom Revolution, the Civil War. He was restored as king of Israel, the greatest king of Israel of all time. A king that serves as a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was restored as king, he had greater grace blessings than he ever had before being forced out of the palace. So this prayer, as we go through it, God the Father answered every detail of this prayer. David's prayer for deliverance starts at verse 16, goes all the way through verse 22. Now, we have several imperative moods here. I want you to understand, you never command God in prayer. You don't give commands to God in prayer. These are not commands. This is the imperative of entreaty. It is a polite command. So the verse 16, when it says, turn to me, that's the imperative mood. What is it saying in the imperative of entreaty? Please hear my prayer. That's what this says in the imperative of entreaty. Please hear my prayer and be gracious to me, because I am isolated and afflicted under great adversity and pressure. The pressures, the troubles, and distress of my heart have increased. May you bring me out from my pressures and distresses and deliver me from personal disaster and national disaster. Verse 18. look at my affliction, the soul pressure from the Absalom Revolution and Civil War, and my troubles and distress, the four installments of divine discipline, and take away the punishment for all my sins. Verse 19, look at my enemies, because they have multiplied, and they hate me with the hatred of violence. Verse 20, you have protected my life in the past, now may you deliver me in the present crisis. Do not let me become ashamed, get back into the cosmic system, because I take refuge in you. Maximum faith rest. In verse 20, when it says, you have protected my life in the past, now may you deliver me in the present crisis. The verb here is shamer. And shamer means to keep, to watch over, to protect, to guard. David knows that the Lord has protected him many times from dangerous situations and enemies in the past. The verb shamer is the wall of fire verb. The wall of fire verb. Having seen the Lord's wall of fire around him, around David in the past, he is faith resting it that it will continue during the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. David has seen the faithfulness of God in his logistical grace, blessing, and support of him in the past, and therefore David has confidence in the Lord's continued logistical grace, blessing, and support during this national crisis. And then with Shamer, we have Natsal. And it's in the Hifil stem, which is the causative stem of the Hebrew. And it means to snatch away, to deliver, to cause one to be delivered. The imperative mood, again, is the imperative of entreaty. This is a polite entreaty from David to God the Father in his prayer. So many times in the past, God has delivered David from certain death. That's the wall of fire. Many times he delivered David from certain death. So now in the present, he is making an entreaty to God the Father to deliver him from the crisis of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. May you be caused, Hifil stem. May you be caused, motivated by your grace, your absolute righteousness and perfect justice, to deliver me in this national crisis. So you have protected me, my life in the past, Operation Wall of Fire. Now may you deliver me in the present crisis. And do not let me become ashamed, get back in the cosmic system. That's the Hebrew verb bosh, which means to be ashamed, or to be put to shame, or to feel ashamed. It means to be disturbed in the mind. David has great, genuine humility. He knows that God is everything and that he is nothing. David knows that the worst thing that could happen to him is to get back into the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. He's been there. He's done that. He got involved in Operation Bathsheba, and he stayed in the cosmic system so long he got to the point of murder, and he committed murder. David went through terrible discipline, warning discipline, intensive discipline, and he was on the verge of dying discipline. This is what he said. He's been there. He's gone through Operation Bathsheba. He went through murdering of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. He's gone through all that. And so that's what he's saying here. You protected my life in the past, wall of fire. Now may you deliver me in the present crisis. And do not let me become ashamed. Get back into the cosmic system. David knows that the worst thing that could ever happen to him now is to get back into the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. This would result in him becoming ashamed and disturbed in his soul. You have protected my life in the past. Wall of fire. Now may you deliver me in the present crisis. Do not let me become ashamed. Get back into the cosmic system. Because I take refuge in you. Now we have a couple of different verbs for the faith rest life. This is one of them, kasa. Kasa is one of the major verbs for the faith rest life in the Old Testament scriptures. It was used of a rabbit fleeing into the cleft of the rock for protection. Kasa means to seek refuge, to find shelter and protection, to take refuge in. And David knows from the scriptures that Jesus Christ is the rock. And he is in that taking refuge in the cleft of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has total confidence that he will be delivered in this time of national crisis and civil war. You have protected my life in the past, wall of fire. May you deliver me in the present crisis. Do not let me become ashamed, get back into the cosmic system. Because I take refuge in you. Maximum faith rest. One. David is living the faith rest life. There was no universal indwelling and filling of the Spirit in the age of Israel. Spirituality was not the filling of the Spirit. Spirituality was the faith rest life. David is living the faith rest life. Two, he is taking refuge in the cleft of the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. He is taking refuge in the cleft of the rock, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. Three, he has maximum confidence in the cleft of the rock that the Lord will deliver him. He has maximum confidence in the rock, and he is in the cleft of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has maximum confidence that the Lord will deliver him. Four, becoming ashamed and disturbed in his soul is going back to the cosmic system. Going back to interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So becoming ashamed and disturbed in his soul is going back to the cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Five, David has been there. He's done that. And he doesn't ever want to go there again. He has totally recovered and he does not want to go there again. No more Operation Bathsheba. No more crime of murder. Six, David knows the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is his shepherd. And therefore he shares the happiness of God even in this crisis and national disaster. David knows the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore he shares the happiness of God even in this crisis and national disaster. 7. For the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, only metabolized doctrine in the heart can result in virtue love. Virtue love and sharing the happiness of God. Because the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. A self-contained happiness in your soul, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances. And that's where David is right now. For the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, only maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart can result in virtue love. And the ultimate of virtue love is occupation with Jesus Christ, and the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ, sharing the happiness of God. Self-contained happiness in any situation or circumstance that you face. 8. You as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're either happy or unhappy. And it all depends on what's going on in your soul. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are either happy or unhappy, and it's all about what is going on in your soul. That brings us to verse 21. Verse 21 is the Tav file. Oh, I forgot. We should have had this up there first. Happy birthday to E. Miley. E. Miley. You know, if you don't know who E. Miley is, that's Emily. I call her E. Miley. E. Miley's not here tonight. She's sick. She was ate too much good food when she was traveling all over the place. I'm just kidding. I don't know if she did or not. Anyway, I told Irene, you can keep the present or you can give it to her, either one. It's up to you. Happy birthday, E. Miley. Did you get a picture? You did? Okay. All right. Your birthday's tomorrow. Don't expect anything. I just thought you might as well. Yeah, well, but you need to show up. You need to show up just to see if I lied or not, see? Verse 21 is the Tav file. Tav. The Tav is the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Tav. The Tav originally was a sign in the form of a cross branded on the thigh or the neck of animals. This sign of the cross was taken by the Phoenicians and later the Romans and the Greeks to form the letter T. T. So a couple of things by way of introduction. One, Tav means a signature, bottom line, a seal. Signature, bottom line, a seal. Two, the bottom line of David's prayer is made up of two parts. The bottom line of David's prayer is made up of two parts. Part one, as a spiritually mature believer, he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Therefore, he is a man of honor and integrity. As a spiritually mature believer, he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, and therefore he is a man of honor and integrity. And then part two, as a spiritually mature believer, he is living the faith rest life to the maximum. And we got another word for the faith rest life in the Tav file. It's the most powerful word for the faith rest life. Three, in the Old Testament scriptures, spirituality was living the faith rest life. David is living the faith rest life to the maximum. So verse 21 begins, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. That's, we always start with the King James Version. This is the noun tom, joined by a makef to the conjunction vav, prefixed to the noun yosher, plus the cal imperfect of the verb natser, with the first person singular suffix. All right, we have T-O-M. I know it looks like Tom, but it's Tome. Now, a couple of things. First of all, this word, this is a noun, Tome, comes from the verb Tomam. There's a mame in the middle of the word and a mame at the end of the word, and I knew you caught that right away and said, what's wrong with Pastor Olson? Okay. T-A-M-A-M. Tom comes from Tamam, and Tamam means to be complete, to be finished, to be sound, to be unimpaired ethically. To be complete, to be finished, to be sound, to be unimpaired ethically. And the noun tome, means completeness, integrity of mind and soul. It means virtue and honor. Completeness, integrity of mind and soul, virtue and honor. That's tome. And then we have yosher. That's Y-O-S-H-E-R. Yosher. And a couple of things on yosher. It comes from the verb yasher, Y-A-S-H-A-R. Comes from the verb yasher. And yasher literally means to go straight. It literally means to go straight. Figuratively, it means to be straightforward, to be upright, to have honor, to be straightforward, to be upright, to have honor. And therefore, that's the verb yasher. Two, the noun, therefore, yosher means straightness, rightness, uprightness, honor. Straightness, rightness, uprightness, honor. And then we have the verb natser. That's N Knotsar, Knotsar. And Knotsar literally was used of watching over and guarding a vineyard. Figuratively, it means to guard from danger, to protect, to preserve. First person singular masculine suffix, me, David, as a spiritually mature believer. So, corrected translation, may integrity and honor protect me. May integrity and honor preserve me. One, David is a grace righteous believer. We know that grace righteousness is a synonym for spiritual maturity. But this grace righteousness places the emphasis on integrity, virtue, honor. David is a grace righteous believer with integrity and honor in his soul. He is a grace righteous believer with integrity and honor in his soul. Two, virtue love has been brought to completion in his heart. Virtue love has been brought to completion in his heart. Three, he has personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And he is occupied with Jesus Christ. He has personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And as much as his son Absalom has made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, started a conspiracy against his own father, got all 12 tribes in Israel to join him in a revolution and overthrow his father. He usurped his father's authority as king. At all of these things that Absalom has done, David loves him with impersonal love. He, right up to the very end, he loved Absalom with impersonal love. In fact, he even gave mandates to his establishment forces, don't kill Absalom. Now, they didn't follow through with that, but David gave the command to them, do not kill Absalom. And that was his demonstration of his fantastic impersonal love for all, for his son, who was a reversionist, and he died the sin unto death. He died in battle. He was fleeing from the establishment forces and got his long hair. There's a reason not to have long hair. You're squared away. You, no problem. Charlie and Derek's barbers are Indians. And Cliff's too. You've been scalped. They've been scalped. When they go to the barber, they get scalped. Well, Absalom should have got scalped, but he got his hair got caught in the tree, and he wound up with a spear going through his body. Four, the prayer of the grace righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. James 5:16. Five. So in his prayer, David is confident that God is going to protect him and deliver him in this national crisis and civil war. In his prayer, David is confident that God is going to protect him and deliver him in this national crisis and civil war. And now he brings in another word for the faith rest life. For I wait on thee. This is the causal conjunction key plus the PL perfect of the verb kava with the second person singular masculine suffix. Key, K long I means because. It is a causal conjunction, correctly translated because. And now, the strongest word in the Hebrew for the faith, rest, life. Q-A-V-A-H, Kava. A couple of things on this verb. One, it's usually translated to wait for or to look eagerly for. To wait for or to look eagerly for. It's in the PAL stem. The PAL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. And this verb was originally used of making rope. You start out with little strands, which by themselves are easily broken. But when they're woven into a rope, it becomes powerful and cannot break. So, too, by himself, David is a weak little strand. But so are all of us by ourselves. By himself, David is a weak little strand. Three. However, as a grace righteous believer who knows and loves the Lord, David has maximum faith, rest, life. Maximum confidence in the Lord. And he has become a gigantic and powerful rope which nothing can break. As a grace righteous believer who knows and loves the Lord, David has maximum faith, rest, life, maximum confidence in the Lord, and he has become a gigantic and powerful rope which nothing can break. Four, kava is the strongest word for the faith, rest, life. And therefore, by using kava, point five, David has absolute confidence that the Lord is going to protect him and deliver him. Second person singular masculine suffix, in you, the Lord. Corrected translation, may integrity and honor protect and preserve me because I eagerly wait for you. Maximum confidence in you. Maximum faith, rest, life. May integrity and honor protect and preserve me because I eagerly wait for you. I have maximum confidence in you, maximum faith, rest, life. One, faith rest was the basic system of spirituality among Old Testament believers like David. We saw this with Abraham in our Sunday morning. Romans 4, 17 to 21, the great parenthesis, we see it with David. Faith rest was the basic system of spirituality among Old Testament believers like David. Two, they didn't have the indwelling and filling of the Spirit for spirituality. For the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit did not occur until the church age. So they didn't have the indwelling and filling of the Spirit for spirituality. For the universal indwelling of the Spirit did not occur until the church age. Three, the faith rest life produces in the believer both a relaxed mental attitude and freedom from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. The faith rest life produces in the believer both a relaxed mental attitude and freedom from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Four, the faith rest life of the spiritually mature believer provides great inner peace and soul strength. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. This is the inner peace which transcends all human understanding and guards the hearts and the minds of the spiritually mature believer. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in, and you might have translated perfect peace. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's shalom, shalom. But when you double it up like that, it intensifies it. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. Maximum metabolized doctrine, a mind stabilized by a maximum amount of the Word of God in the heart. Because he trusts in you, faith rest, batak, trust in the Lord forever, for God the Lord is the rock eternal, the rock of ages. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord, God the Lord is the rock eternal. So the faith rest life of the spiritually mature believer provides great inner peace in the soul, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. 5, the faith rest life is that problem-solving device used by believers in all dispensations for carrying and using the shield of faith. The faith rest life is that problem-solving device used by believers in all dispensations for carrying and using the shield of faith. Turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power, His might. How? Put on the full armor of God. The armor of God goes on in the soul. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand your ground, stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For our struggle, our war is not against flesh and blood. It's not a visible war, but it's an invisible war against ruling demons and demons in authority and the world ruling demons of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Therefore, stand firm, having girded your loins with truth, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. What's the result of that? putting on the breastplate of grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, reconciliation, and in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, the faith rest life, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the communicated Word of God. So point five, the faith rest life is that problem-solving device used by believers in all dispensations for carrying and using the shield of faith. Six, believers have choices every time any adversity, any suffering, or any prosperity, or any situation which might be detrimental occurs. And by the way, prosperity can be very detrimental. Prosperity can be a harder test to pass than adversity or suffering. So believers have choices. You have a free will. You decide. You have choices every time any adversity, any suffering, any prosperity, or any situation which might be detrimental occurs. That is, one, you can live the faith rest life and enter into God's rest, God's inner peace in your soul, self-contained happiness, contentment, tranquility of soul. So you have a free will. You can use that free will to live the faith rest life and enter into God's rest and inner peace and self-contained happiness and contentment and tranquility of soul. Or two, you can commit the sins of fear and worry, anxiety, and turn adversity into stress in your soul. Or you can commit the sins of fear and worry and anxiety and turn adversity into stress in your soul. You have a free will. It's up to you. We're here to make choices. Seven, God's rest includes sharing the happiness of God. It includes tranquility. Happiness is a spectrum that goes from tranquility on one end of the spectrum to ecstatics on the other end. It's a happiness spectrum. And God's rest includes sharing the happiness of God, having tranquility in your soul, and tremendous contentment in your soul, which comes from knowing God, knowing the essence of God, knowing the plan of God in the midst of the greatest confusion and stresses in life. So God's rest includes sharing His happiness. It includes tranquility and tremendous contentment, which comes from knowing the essence of God and the plan of God in the midst of the greatest confusion and stress in life. For the Christian, God's rest is entering into His happiness. True rest is having a self-contained happiness in your soul, no matter what's going on. Eight, when you live the faith rest life, you are capable of facing any problem in life. When you live the faith rest life, you are capable of facing any problem in life. And you are capable of making the right choice in resolving the problem. When you live the faith rest life, you are capable of facing any problem in life, and you are capable of making the right choices in resolving the problem. The faith rest life is made up of three stages. Stage one, faith reaches out and claims the promise. This is the spiritual Mae West that enables you to keep your head above water so you don't go down. So you claim a promise to keep your head above water and start thinking. Think, damn it, think. That's what God wants you to do. Think. So faith reaches out and claims the promise. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, let us fear lest a promise, being unclaimed of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So it starts out by claiming a promise. Get your head above water. Now think. Now you can go on to stage two of the faith rest life. Faith reaches out and claims a doctrinal rationale. But two things are needed for stage two to work. Two things. One, you need a stronger faith from consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. You need a stronger faith from consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And two, you need to learn the whole range of Bible doctrine. The whole realm of Bible doctrine, the whole range of Bible doctrine, which gives the faith rest drill options to meet the stress and pressures of life. So faith reaches out and claims the doctrinal rationale. Stage two of the faith rest mechanics demands an understanding of five areas of doctrine found in the scriptures. The essence of God rationale. The plan of God rationale. The policy of God rationale, which is grace orientation. The a fortiori rationale. The 10 problem solving devices. Rebound, filling of the Spirit, faith rest life. Grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ, self-contained happiness. Stage three, then faith reaches out and comes to the doctrinal conclusion. If God is for you, who can be against you? And this results in you being in control of the situation. Faith reaches out and comes to the doctrinal conclusion. If God is for you, who can be against you? Nine. Failure to live the faith rest life results in the building up of stress in your soul. Doctors' offices are full of Christians who have had stress built up in their soul. And it affects the body, and for a believer in Jesus Christ, the problem's up here. They have problems in their body, but those problems in the body came about because there's problems up here in the soul. Failure to live the faith rest life results in the building up of stress in your soul. Stress in your soul cannot be cured. Now listen to this. Stress in your soul cannot be cured by any system of counseling. Stress in the soul cannot be cured by any system of counseling. Stress in the soul knocks out the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're no longer living the spiritual life. By your own free will, by your own volition, you have committed emotional sins. Fear, worry, anxiety, bitterness, anger, jealousy, gossip, maligning, judging. And now you're in Satan's cosmic system. So stress in your soul cannot be cured by any system of counseling. This is where I do my counseling, right here. And it's great. You have the privacy of your priesthood. You assemble in the privacy of your priesthood. The Word of God is taught. You're free to learn it. You're free to believe it. You're free to apply it. And you protect your privacy in the process. Now, I've been here 45 years, and I made some stupid decisions early on. At least one. I'm just kidding. Several. But I used to counsel. I gave great advice, too. I gave great advice. And then they would take that advice and they would be all fine and hunky-dory for a little while, and then off they go again. I don't hang the shingle out, counselor. I do my counseling by teaching the Word of God. You protect your privacy. And I've had people call me up and they want me to counsel them over the phone. I said, you know what? Don't you want to protect your privacy? Don't you want to protect your privacy? And then I would give, I said, really what you need is live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The filling of the Spirit. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then who counsels you? Who's the greatest counselor of all? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Wonder Counselor. One of his titles. Wonder Counselor. And how does the Wonder Counselor counsel you? Through the mind of Christ. The Bible is the mind of Christ. Now the Wonder Counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels you. Through the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. So I teach doctrine, teach doctrine, teach doctrine. So that the Wonder Counselor, Jesus Christ, can counsel you through the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. So I'm not going to hang the shingle up to come in to Pastor Olson's number one counselor in Las Vegas, Nevada. In the state of Nevada. In Western United States. In the whole damn United States. No, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I love you all too much. And that because of that, I'll protect your privacy. And I go out of my way to protect the privacy of each one of you. So, failure to live the faith rest life results in the building up of stress in your soul. And stress in your soul cannot be cured by any system of counseling. Stress in the soul knocks out the filling of the Spirit. You're no longer living the spiritual life. And by your own free will, you have committed emotional sins. Fear, worry, anxiety, bitterness, anger. This gets into sin, mental attitude sins of jealousy and anger and then hatred and then sins of the tongue, gossip and maligning and judging. And now? Well, now you're living in Satan's cosmic system. That's why we have 5 classes a week in different books, so you can get the whole realm of doctrine, the whole range of Bible doctrine, so that you can apply God's problem-solving devices and Bible doctrine to your circumstance, your situation. Let the Wonder Counselor, Jesus Christ, counsel you and guide you and direct you, and that you can through... And how does He guide you and direct you? Through the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. There's a lot of people out there They're just pushing themselves like they're God. You're not God. None of you here are God. None of you are Jesus Christ. If you are, would you please stand up? None of you are Jesus Christ. None of you are God. None of you are a wonder counselor. But Jesus Christ is the wonder counselor. And so if I do my job of teaching you doctrine, 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 and you have positive volition and humility, you'll get it. And then Jesus Christ, the wonder counselor, will counsel you through the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine, and you will be on your way. And you will handle any situation, any circumstance in your life. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.